Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And as you can see, well, I got a big smile on my face for a multitude of reasons. Well, one, I finished the Contra DLC this morning for Vampire Survivors, and it's so freaking good. Oh my God, I cannot stop gushing over this. It's probably, honestly, I know there's been a lot of big games. I know Senua is coming out in 2 weeks. I cannot wait. I know that tomorrow is the DLC, well, not the DLC, the upgraded, visuals and everything for Starfield. I'm looking forward to jumping back into that. But man, it's probably the best thing I played all year. And that's coming off of, you know, reinvigorated for Fallout 4, playing Halo Infinite, Dragon's Dogma, still my game of the year. But this DLC is just so, it's so top tier that it's crazy. But we have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. If you like your Square Enix with a side of spice, well, you're going to get it because, man, oh, man, the fiscals are in and they have changed their tune to what Square Enix games on other platforms mean, specifically Xbox. They have shifted from being PlayStation's, you know, side piece, I guess you can call it. And now they are going to be full on, for the entire community. And it's about time. And I was telling the guys in the green room, I guess the hundreds of millions of dollars that they lost for putting games on PlayStation 5 that only sold to a subset of people wasn't enough. Obviously, it wasn't. We're going to get into that. We have a ton of Doom information that broke over the weekend, thanks to Tom Warren of The Verge. We're going to get into that. Doom may or may not be at the June showcase, but there seems like there's a lot of fervor for it. And of course, we have some information on State of Decay 3 that is very exciting. Phil Spencer called it one of its most anticipated IPs. I think it's going to show at the June showcase, but I think it's going to show in a big way. It is going to be using Unreal Engine 5, and they have the Undead team gotten a lot of help from the Coalition, who are the masters of the Unreal Engine. Before we get into any of that, hopefully you had a good weekend. You enjoyed. Hopefully a big shout out to all the moms in the room and who are not in the room. Hopefully they were pampered and they were appreciated on Mother's Day, which was yesterday. And again, happy Mother's Day, even if it's belated. But, you know, I said my piece, Mrs. Boom, and I put out a nice tweet that we wanted to kind of extend to all the moms that sometimes, or more times than not, get overlooked for the work that they do. So thank you, moms, for, you know, the moms, the wives, the girlfriends. Thank you for being the rock for most of us knucklehead guys in the relationship. But Gamsley, good morning, kind sir. How you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. It's a good time for gaming. It's a good time for moms everywhere. It's a good time to be alive. Let's talk some games. Let's talk some news. I'm ready to get some Square action going.
Okay. Yeah, well, listen, we're here for it. Fuzzy Belvedere, good morning, kind sir. How you feeling? Oh, you're muted. Oh no.
Sorry. Oh man, I'm feeling great. Man, Twitter's found something new to fuss about, but it's going to be a fun one today. But so great to be here. Glad to be with you guys. Thanks to everybody in the chat, man. Strap in. We're going to have a good one today.
yeah, we certainly are. So let's open up with the big news. The big news is, of course, that Square Enix has officially announced in their financials a shift to multi-platform strategy as part of their new business plan. And here's a quote from that business package that, you know, you can go out and you can find it at pretty much everywhere. I pulled this from Genki underscore JPN. I have another one over here from Wario64, which I will read in a minute. And Genki goes on to say, and again, this is reading verbatim from the actual document. The group will aggressively pursue a multi-platform strategy that includes Nintendo platforms, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, especially in regards to major franchises and AAA titles, including catalog titles. Now, of course, Wario 64 included the document. Now, again, it has four paragraphs. We're only going to go through the first one. I will include the links to these business packages if you want to read for yourself. They are relatively lengthy. Some are worthy of your, if you're a gamer, and if you are someone like maybe a financial guy or gal, maybe you want to read the bylines, you can find it. Some of the stuff went over my head a little bit, but I want to read a very specific paragraphed Gamsley that I think really does put a pole or a stake into the ground on where Square Enix is going and where they were. Where they were is a PlayStation side piece. And PlayStation locked up a lot of their bigger titles that, let's face reality, did not sell very well. And with that said, they lost, well, I can't say, I know they lost millions. Did they lose hundreds of millions? Well, I guess that, you know, I'm not a finance guy, so I can't really say, but they lost a lot of money being exclusive for PlayStation, specifically PlayStation 5. Why is that? Well, PlayStation players, as we know, are a fickle bunch. And about 85% of that fickle bunch are normies. They're casual gamers. They might have at one time dabbled in a Final Fantasy, but that's just not their bag. Their bag is Call of Duty, Apex Legends, PUBG, Fortnite, things of that nature. Lots of free to play games. Occasionally, they'll buy the Spider-Man 2, they'll buy the God of War, but for the most part, they just don't buy games. That is a fact. It's a matter of fact. To my conversation, last week there was a report that currently PlayStation 5 sales of software are lacking behind the PlayStation 4 severely at this time in the console's lifespan. Well, that's to do probably to $70 games. That probably hurt, but just, I'm sorry to say, PlayStation gamers just don't buy their games. And if they're not going to buy first-party games, they're certainly not going to buy Square Enix games. So, again, let me just read verbatim from the document, Gamsley, and we'll get your hot take on it. It says, diversify earnings opportunities by strengthening customer contact points. And it says this, shift to a multi-platform strategy. For HD titles, the group will aggressively pursue a multi-platform strategy that includes Nintendo platforms, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, especially in regards to major franchises and AAA titles, including catalog titles. It will build an environment where more customers can enjoy our titles. In addition, it will also diversify the platform strategy for SD titles. Now, let me just get to some clarification. HD titles are console. SD titles are mobile. I didn't know that. Thanks. Shout out to Everborn Saga, who clarified what those were. So again, HD titles, when they say that, they're talking about the platforms, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC. When they say SD titles, they're talking about mobile. Oh, and continues. SD titles that includes not only iOS and Android, but also the possibility of PC launches. Furthermore, the group will strive to maximize the acquisition of new users when launching a title and that of recurring users after starting management of game operations. Again, very corpo talk, but I think it does really paint the picture as to them understanding that where they failed in their investment was making games and signing contracts with Sony to keep those games away from potentially other customers when Sony's own customers did not support this exclusive. Let's talk about it, Gamsley.
Yeah, so I don't have much to say that hasn't already been said by literally everybody. This was telegraphed for a long time. Square Enix shouldn't have been exclusive to any platform. They're a third-party developer that have the power to show their guns on anything. And if they started this very early, they would have been in a better spot. I mean, it takes some time. Consoles take time to kind of come out there and give the power necessary. So Nintendo maybe didn't have the power necessary all the time. Maybe Xbox didn't have a proper user base at some point. I don't know where they went wrong, but it was wrong for them to take this prior this step. And that's why their old CEO is gone. He made an entire franchise exclusive to one platform. The biggest JRPG to ever being made, which is now Monster Hunter, I believe.
Yeah.
He took that and he shrunk it. He put Final Fantasy VII, which was gigantic in every means necessary. Like, it just did. It was big. Everybody loves Final Fantasy VII. They took that and they shrank it even smaller than it was. And it's just so ridiculous. In a growth phase, right? In a growth phase, they took something so big and they shrunk it again. And it doesn't make any sense. And I said this in my debut episode. I said it in many podcasts. It's not hard to see that a company wants their game to be more viewed. And to do that, you got to put it everywhere. And you really are building trust with fan bases. It's not that they're going to gain fan bases. They're just going to maintain it. When it comes to Xbox and it goes to PC and it goes to Switch 2, the people that were Square Enix fans that didn't buy a PlayStation every single year to get Square Enix games, they're now going to buy those games again and be like, well, I'm a Nintendo guy, I'm an Xbox guy, I'm a PC guy, and now I get to play Final Fantasy again. And that's what's going to happen, and they're going to get back those users that should have bought the game in the first place. It's not freaking rocket science. They're going to skyrocket, you know, they're gonna sell 2-3 million more, and then they're gonna be like, wow, scratch my head, that guy who really tanked us, thank god he's gone, right? Like, thank god that dude's gone. We got 3 million players back, you know. It's like, surprise, yeah, they didn't buy a PlayStation for freaking your Final Fantasy, of course not. I this is good news overall. I just want people to play Final Fantasy. I think that franchise, I play it. I'm sure we played it, right? I'm sure someone played it in the audience, even if we're an Xbox-centric kind of podcast. I'm sure you all played Final Fantasy here, but it deserves a lot more than just us. It deserves everybody outside, and especially Nintendo fans as well. So it might be their big impact. They might see a huge impact in Japan once they start releasing on Switch 2, regain that fan base. It's a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing for Xbox, and it's a good thing for Switch, a good thing for PC players. Good for us. Good.
Yeah.
Positive news.
No, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I think that, like Gamzee was saying, it's pretty self-explanatory. Again, this we've been talking about this forever. We don't have to be business tycoons or have degrees in marketing to know that this was a bad deal. They signed a bad contract that they're stuck to with some of the games. That's just a fact. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, it's just not selling. It sold less than seven, a remake. That's not good. You want at least some of those people coming back, and they got only what two million, 2.3, 2.5 million. They spent a lot of money on that game, and that is now locked into a PlayStation 5. Hell, we don't even have Final Fantasy 16 on PC yet. So when do you think that Final Fantasy Rebirth is going to hit PC? When is that? Next year? You hope? And then obviously we've heard some, you know, so there's been some talks where the Final Fantasy VII remake trilogy will not come over to Xbox until the trilogy is done on PlayStation.
Yeah.
When is that coming out? 2030? I guess. All right. You know, good luck on waiting.
You know, and for the people in the chat that are like still bamboozled and fighting about it, it's like, guys, open your eyes. It's not that Final Fantasy is niche. It was created niche now. Like, you're pushing it to being niche. There's a lot of games that are niche titles that expanded. You know, you look at Souls titles, they are expanding, right? they really didn't. They pushed for every platform, right? Demon Souls and all that stuff, or let's say Dark Souls and all that. They grew, Elden Ring grew, that company grew because they really were aggressive with, no, we make good games, put it to where the people are, and people will buy it and catch on. Final Fantasy is not niche. Stop pretending. It's just that some people fell out of love with it or forgot about it because it's not on their platform. So if you're aggressive with continuously showing good games on the platform that it's being sold to, people will buy it. So stop kidding yourself. Final Fantasy and Square Enix games are great games. There's a reason why they were the biggest RPG manufacturer ever. There's a reason. And there's a reason why they're shrinking. And Capcom and all those other guys are growing. It's because they're not consistent. Stop playing.
I mean, listen, it's a great point. Look, I get it. Not everybody is a Final Fantasy fan. What I will personally dismiss, very similar to Gamsley, is someone be like, well, boom, you know, it's a niche game. No one really cares. You see, that's wrong. Now, should they have sold more on PS5? Well, that depends on how you angle it. Again, it is a casual audience box. 85 of the 100% that play on PS5 are casual players that buy 2 to 3 games per year. And the games that they play are what? 2K, Madden, FIFA, and pick your favorite flavor. Your Fortnite, your Call of Duty, your Apex Legends, or your PUBG. All free to play shit. And they buy their passes, and they buy their DLC, and they buy their microtransactions, and that's the only money you're getting out of them. Will they buy a Spider-Man 2? Well, yes, of course, because it's Spider-Man. Are they running to the door to buy the new Last of Us? I don't know. What about God of War Ragnarok? How many people ran out to get that are casuals? We don't know because, well, Sony's not telling us. So make the determination yourself. But with that said, Fuzzy Belvedere, let's talk about it. Listen, Final Fantasy... Again, I want you to kind of angle it to your opinion on whether or not you feel that it's quote unquote niche as the excuse is being used. And more importantly, I think that the writing was on the wall. And Sony, as a company, as a corporation, was not able to do what it was necessary to continue keeping these games exclusive. Millions upon millions of dollars were lost by Square Enix. And I don't necessarily think that the check that they got or the bag or whatever box of money they got from Sony was good enough to take on the losses, which is why, like Gamsley said, that ex-president is nowhere to be found. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as calling Final Fantasy niche, I would say it's been made that way primarily because of its limited exposure. Like I think probably the biggest misstep that Square made, other than like exclusivity in all regards, is that when they made 16, they didn't make it for PC day and date, or the fact that the PC port isn't anywhere near, you know, ready at this point. I think that was a mistake, given that while Final Fantasy's popularity may have waned a bit, as far as in Japan, it's still a played franchise, just not as much as it may have been in its earlier phases. But a lot of that population is mobile or PC. They're less about the consoles, with the exception of the Switch console, but that's more along the lines of mobile as far as that market. So by not having it on PC at this point was a I wouldn't say a huge blunder, but they should have worked that out with the negotiations for Sony, saying, hey, if we're only going to put it on the PS5, as far as console is concerned, we need at least a plan B, being the PC, to at least kind of make up some of that ground. But unfortunately, that wasn't within, I guess, the workings or the deal itself. But, you know, given their financials versus Sega, versus Capcom, given that those other platforms are more open to putting their titles everywhere, with few exceptions, I think... It's basically easy to see where kind of, you know, Square screwed up. But I think moving forward with this multi-platform plan, I don't know what that means exactly for Final Fantasy VII. I know there's conflicting rumors whether it has to wait for all three parts or something before it could come to Xbox, or maybe they bite the bullet and give some of the bag back. Or so, I don't know what the case may be as far as putting that on other platforms, at least Remake. Rebirth, I would have to believe, since they had some sort of limited or timed exclusivity on that as well. I think that means it should be coming to PC sooner than later, but we'll see how that pans out. But I don't know. I think Square has kind of learned from their previous deals that this ain't working, and we can look basically across the street at Capcom, and they're flourishing. They've done some remakes like we've tried, and they're flourishing. They've put their games everywhere. In fact, some of the games have gone day and date in Game Pass. They're flourishing. You know, Sega finally, I guess convinced Atlas to put, you know, things like Persona and stuff like that on.
Yeah, Fuzzy, I hate to butt in. Do you think that Monster Hunter was niche?
I think
at the time, right?
When Monster Hunter, what was, I forget what it was, Monster Hunter World, was it called? Or was, yes, was that the first one they put on Xbox?
Yeah.
That thing blew up.
Like, oh, it blew up, right? Just one title, bang. Wow. Yeah.
But that's crazy. The thing.
Like Final Fantasy 16 could have, right?
Exactly. Like, I know the numbers may not be, you know, a lot to write home about as far as for Final Fantasy 15, but it did a lot better than 16 did. Despite, you know, maybe the smaller portion being sold on Xbox, there were still sales to be had. And, you know, not having that with 16 is definitely where they messed up. Not having it on PC is definitely where they messed up. You know, looking at things like even Forspoken, like that group is now rolled into another studio. Had they, you know, had the forethought to say, hey, not that I'm asking for it, because it was available in Xbox PC store. But, you know, that goes to show that sometimes, you know, making these deals, that you got to read the small print. It may not be all that it's cracked up to be. A big bag up front might not necessarily pay off in the long run. I mean, it may cover some of your production costs, but if you're also still looking to pay salaries and keep the lights on after the thing is out, you know, that's where the sales should hopefully pick up or make up for it. But if they're not, that's where these deals should have been like, you know what? No more deals. We just put everything everywhere. And if you want a deal, hey, maybe we'll do, you know, some skins or hairstyles for characters or something along those lines that you can have, you know, special for your platform. But other than that, the games go everywhere where, you know, anybody can purchase them, and they stand a better chance of bringing revenue back to the company as opposed to, you know, maybe pissing off part of a fan base. But Monster Hunter goes to show that something that wasn't that big of a title before
can be, you know,
now is it's gotten a little bit more of a fan base than it had, let's say, 5-6 years ago. So hopefully, was it Kingdom Hearts, I guess, is their next one that they need to announce here soon. Maybe we'll see it next month.
Maybe. Nothing is immune to success. Nothing is immune to failure. But there is such thing as stacking your hand towards success, right? Poker hands, same thing. You fold some, you really push others. Final Fantasy 16 should have been pushed to all consoles. And, you know, their next games should be pushed to other consoles and made for more broader audiences. And that's how you get a Monster Hunter World, and that's how you explode. So don't at me, chat. You don't at me.
I mean, listen, it's fine. I think that the excuse that's thrown in many of our faces when we say Final Fantasy didn't sell, oh no, it's because it's niche. No, it's not. It's because the they've circled the wagons and they've made the buying power small. And when you make the buying power small, no matter how big your base is, only people that enjoy that game are going to play that game. And again, you can be like, well, see, that's niche. No, actually, it's not. RPGs are not niche. JRPGs are not niche. Final Fantasy as a brand is nowhere near as niche as people are trying to make it out to. This was a bad deal Square Enix made with the devil. Sorry.
Yes.
That's just what it is. And that's why that they have that the former president, nowhere to be found. That's why they brought Phil Spencer on stage in Las Vegas. Remember that? And it was a really big to do. Well, that's why, because they understand that, okay, maybe Xbox doesn't have as many customers. Probably have about, what, about a little less than half, maybe about half, maybe a pinch more than PlayStation, players. That's still 30 plus million consoles that are out there. How do you just say no to that? If you're a knucklehead, you do. But with that said, a couple of things before we move on to the information that we're going to get into. And obviously, I did have here that we were going to talk about Perfect Dark. I'm going to be talking about Perfect Dark tomorrow because we got to talk about Doom. That is what we're going to get into next. But before we get there, I do want to catch up on a few things here. One, I am officially now dropping into the chat your ability to copy and paste. And by the end of the show, I will announce 5 winners of the Hellblade 2 coin that was given to us to give away by Ben Kenobi, That Blue Number, and Sean Labrie. Obviously, they have joined forces to give us these amazing coins. As you've seen, I have a whole collection for myself. And we're giving away 5 pairs of coins. You're going to get the Hellblade 2 coin, which was limited. And I mean extremely limited. And you're also going to get the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 coin, which he produced a nice number, which is why I can give away a pair of coins. Obviously, it is going to be open to everyone. The only caveat is if it costs me and Mrs. Boom $40, it should be 2 coins. We're just not going to do it. And again, we remember we're a mom and pop organization. This comes out of our pockets. So we want everyone to win, which is why we do digital stuff. But today we're doing physical. It's 5 pairs of coins. I'm literally dropping it in there. It is going to be, here it is, copy and paste it, put it into the chat. And obviously by the end of the show, we will draw that winner or those winners live. And obviously, there are multiple ways to get in touch with me and Mrs. Boom. Obviously, we prefer DMs if you're on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, you can message me or something like on Xbox Live. And if you're not on Xbox Live, you can email me at the business email address, which you can find at the about information on the YouTube channel. Obviously, I'm going to drop it in there again, folks. Please, by all means, if you want a shot at winning these pair of coins, it's only 5 of them that I'm giving away today. Hashtag the heck out of it. And we'll the picker from StreamYards is going to pick the winner. But listen, let's get into what Tom Warren said. Now, Tom Warren of The Verge, I like him as a journalist. He knows how to take the punches. We all get it wrong, right? I talked about gaming media as a whole, not Tom, not Jez. You know, not no one specific. I mean, gaming media as a whole, at least what I have noticed in 2024, is fastest first, right? Sometimes that is information that they got from a source that they trust. They put it out there. They're the fastest. They're the first. Everyone's talking about it. They're getting clicks. They're getting likes. They're getting dislikes. They're getting, conversation and some good, some bad. But one of the things that I do have to say is that Tom is more correct than he is wrong. And that's why I like to use his stuff. So over the weekend, he had put out an article, Xbox, Inside Microsoft's Xbox Turmoil. And obviously, the turmoil he's referring to is the fact that 4 studios were closed. One of which is the one that stings the most for me is Tango Gameworks, because we're never going to get a Hi-Fi Rush 2. And that sucks. It's business. I don't like it. I don't appreciate people losing their jobs, but I have no control and no power over that. But what he said, and quite frankly, it's minimal, but it did weigh a lot because a lot of people ran with it. And I think he was being extremely facetious. And I'm gonna go first to Fuzzy on this. Fuzzy, he wrote, Microsoft will be banking on some new game announcements, lifting the Doom in all caps, like the game around Xbox. Now, obviously, there it is. There's been some talk, again, following this conversation that he put out there on the socials. that we're starting to hear in some certain channels that the next Doom is potentially going to be shown at this June event. Now, why that's important is because of something that I sent you guys. I'm going to bring it up right now. Let me see. Yep, here it is. Now, okay, hold on just a second. I have it here. Now, according to Thunderdome Gaming, who's always here in the chat, so Thunderdome, thank you so much for this post, and thank you so much for being here, as always. He goes on to say, a new Doom game is rumored to show up at the Xbox June Showcase. A new trademark has been spotted from ZeniMax for a game called IDKFA, which is an old cheat code for Doom. Now, it's pure speculation at this point, but would you like to see a new Doom? And the answer is, well, yes, I absolutely would. And I think the world is ready for it. So I didn't know that IDKFA is a code for Doom. And obviously, this is a new trademark from Bethesda. So, well, it kind of makes sense. This is where we start seeing the rubber hit the road. We're starting to hear stuff about Perfect Dark. We're going to get into that in full detail tomorrow because Jeff Grubb, who I love, and Jeff, you know I love you, brother. You've been on the show several times. Kind of got it wrong at first, at least from what so many people he was talking to, and had to kind of backtrack on it was a mess. And now Perfect Dark seems to be like, it looks good. You know, we'll get into that more tomorrow. I'm going to save what I have to say until tomorrow. It's relatively important and does track with what Jeff said in his rebuttal. And that's something I personally heard, but I will divulge that tomorrow when we do the Xbox Factor podcast. But Fuzzy Belvedere, a new Doom. Yes. We have been waiting for this. Doom Eternal was absolutely amazing. The reboot of Doom in 2016 was freaking spectacular. This is going to be running on the newly updated ID engine. It's supposed to melt eyeballs. Let's talk about it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe does anybody remember from the court case for ABK some of the Bethesda leaks?
Yes, I know where you're going with this, but please continue, sir.
There was I think it was called Doom Zero or something that may have been listed in there. And they kind of try to play it off. Well, maybe plans have changed. You know, that was 2 years ago. You know, things are fluid. It's basically they got caught with their pants down kind of thing. And they had to kind of cover it up to some extent that something's in the works that they didn't want to necessarily let loose to the public. But all of that being said, I would be extremely happy if they have something Doom related to show at the showcase. We know that ID has been working on something. Yes, they've been helping other teams within the Bethesda, family and stuff as far as for their current or existing or previous projects and stuff. But we all know they've been pretty solid as far as being able to, one, churn out a game in a reasonable amount of time, and two, being able to do updates or additional DLC and expansions and stuff like that fairly quickly as well. So having them be another one that's ready to step up to the plate, have a title that will probably do some decent numbers, right out the gate, would be a pretty awesome deal. Now, I don't want to say shadow drop or anything like that. I'm almost afraid to say the word shadow drop nowadays. But considering that we have that trademark, considering that we saw some court documents that may have been, a couple of years old, considering ID hasn't made any announcements on anything anytime recently. We've seen some things as far as like Quake and stuff like that, but that's a whole different deal. I would believe that something Doom related is in our near future. I would also like to see something from Wolfenstein, but I know that that's a further out deal considering Indiana Jones is right around the corner for Machine Games, but having a Doom game ready at this point, it feels about like the right time. And truth be told, it will probably slot in sooner than Gears of War. Unless they have the collection deal ready to go. I think Doom would be able to drop in 2025, considering the time from Doom Eternal and stuff like that. So Gears, I'm still on my hill on the 26, the 6 and 26 kind of thing with Forza Horizon 6, Gear 6, Elder Scrolls 6 and stuff like that being in 26. But I think Doom could slot in for as a 2025 title. That would be a pretty solid, you know, insight to what we're getting next year. I mean, the rest of this year is pretty stacked. Seeing Doom possibly coming out next year, I think that would be a big deal.
It'd be a monster deal. And it would be one of the games that we had no idea was releasing, right? Like, obviously, It would be a big deal. And it's a new Doom. We don't know if it's going to be Doom Zero. We don't know. I think it's all safe to say that it's going to be a continuation of the story that we played through 2016's Doom. And then, of course, Doom Eternal. It's going to continue. Obviously, the cliffhanger ending for Doom Eternal. No spoilers here, folks. The game's only a couple of years old. But, yeah, it's going to continue from there. And it's going to be a big deal. Again, we don't know whether or not this is going to be exclusive. I personally don't think so. And I don't think it needs to be. I think that this is one of those deals, Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, available everywhere. Hell, I think Doom 2016 was on the Switch, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it's going to be everywhere because Microsoft wants to make money. And that's a major IP. Who cares if it's exclusive or it's not? It's
exclusive to Game Pass.
Well, that is absolutely correct. I'm glad that you said that because that is the exclusivity is Game Pass. You don't have to spend $76.43 if you live in New York like I do. You simply pay your $16.99 and you go. And you download the game, you play it to your heart's content. And if the game sucks, you can delete it. Gamsley, let's talk about this. Obviously, yes, this is coming the way of many scoopers. Tom Warren being the first one to put this out there. Doom potentially, again, he didn't guarantee that it was going to be there. This is what he's suggesting. He's being very facetious, but no one goes and writes Doom in all caps if you don't think that it's going to be there from someone that he heard. Again, take it with a grain of salt, folks. It's not confirmed it's going to be there, but it's certainly likely to be there. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so like Fuzzy said on top, right, the exclusive is Game Pass. I know that's a cliche thing to say, apparently, on the Twitter sphere, but I'm in agreement. The Game Pass is a strong weapon, and Xbox is a strong brand being literally everywhere. And just like we talked about with Square Enix, you don't want to shrink your core fan base of your big titles. You know, you can get away with it with Starfield, but you can't get away with it with these big, big franchises. If I was Xbox, and I've never fought for exclusivity, I never was in this whole whatever mindset Xbox console gamers are in, or whatever, a subsect of them. I was never in that mindset. If you're going to grow Doom, and it's going to grow that studio and keep that studio happy and the people there happy and gamers happy, put that shit everywhere and give me the value proposition of Game Pass, and I know where I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it on my, I don't know, Legion Go or something on Game Pass, or I'm gonna play it on my, I know that's just me. I really do love handhelds. I love lying down in bed with my girlfriend and we like bond over gaming sessions. We have like two gaming sessions a week together where we just lie down and she plays her Switch, I play my Legion Go. So like Game Pass has been my best friend in those moments. So yeah, I'm ready for Doom and Game Pass. And if there's another Doom coming, man, I'm excited. It's all about the games, dude. Give me content, good content. Don't give me crap content. Give me good content. And, that's where my wallet's going to go. So, yeah, I'll probably play the next Doom in Game Pass. I'll probably buy it from my brother who's on Steam most of the time and doesn't care about any of this and is dark to it. And doesn't know anything about it. I can't wait for the showcase, period. You're giving me goosebumps. Like, I love the speculation. I love getting the hype. I don't love being disappointed, but it's hardly happened. Like, I'm okay if things don't show up. I just want to be hyped. I want everything to pop up. Just give me everything. I'm ready for Doom, man. And you don't tweet out Doom in caps like that if you don't know something's happening, man. I mean, I'm so excited. And if he did that and he's wrong, I hate you, but also I love you. All right. That's all I got to say.
No, I mean, it's good stuff. Look, at the end of the day, a new Doom is something that we all want. It's something that we all need. I personally could care less whether or not it's exclusive. I know that I am the exclusive guy. I know that I've been gaming for a long time, and this is how I've been trained. My exclusivity does, you know, follow the Xbox exclusives. This is a Bethesda game that has been everywhere. It's probably going to remain everywhere. It makes sense. Now, does that mean new IPs like Starfield should go over? I still think Starfield should stay exclusive, but that's just my old man thinking.
By the way, so I'm so sorry to clarify. I'm okay with I'm okay with if Doom pops out in front of Xbox brand as an exclusive title and it helps them build something and it works, also for that. Yeah, growth. That's I want them to grow and be healthy. That's all.
Well, I mean, there's a difference, right? Like when we talk about an Xbox game coming out that's exclusive, something they've been doing since I think 2016, it goes to PC as well. So it is exclusive to the console platform, but it's available to one of the biggest platforms in gaming. That's not PlayStation. That's not Switch. That's not Xbox. That is PC. PC is still the biggest platform going. So it's one of those things that Microsoft was a trendsetter all those years going back, and they were beating up over it, right? They got all the arrows, and now everybody's putting it out on PC day and date, well, except for Sony, because, well, Sony's stupid. Sorry, that's just facts.
How dare you? How
you know, shame on me for talking sense. Look, I'm excited. First of all, I'm going to be in LA. Folks, I want to reiterate, if you are going to be in LA between the 6th and the 10th, which is when all of these shows are happening. You have IGN Live, which is a 3-day event. You have the Keeley's Summer Game Fest. You have the Ubisoft show. I don't know if Nintendo is going to be there. I think they're going to be there. They might have a Treehouse event, but they're not definitely showing the Switch 2, which is a bit disappointing. There's rumors that Sony may be having a show. I don't think it's going to happen during that time. I think it's supposed to be sometime this month, where they might unveil the PlayStation 5 Pro. You know, good on them for that. I'm not buying it. But if you're going to be in LA, stop by. Let's have a Dr. Pepper because it's going to be nice to meet people in person. And, that's probably the only time I'm going to spend money to get out there to these big shows. Next year, though, I'm going to attend PAX East. PAX East, I've been to about 3 of them. They were fantastic. But listen, Doom on the way. I'm very excited for Doom. I cannot wait for it. And again, it's going to be inside Game Pass. That's your exclusivity. There's no need to worry about whether or not if you're a Game Pass supporter, you just download and you enjoy. Okay, so before we get into the final topic, which of course is going to be Stave Decay 3, we got some big information courtesy of Jez Corden of Windows Central, but that's not where he said it, folks. He said it with Randall Thor 19 on the Xbox 2 podcast. Again, it's subtle, but we do have some background information about who's been working with them. I'm super stoked. I have some wants. I threw it out there years ago. I got the virtual tomatoes. I don't know if he's going to still throw those tomatoes, but I have an idea of what I want from State of Decay 3, and we'll get into that in a second. First of all, let me catch up on Super Chats. There's been quite a few of them, and I'm going to announce the 5 winners of the coin sets, and we'll try and get those out by week's end for sure. We have a Sombra. Know it? No, man, I'm butchering your name. Asam Branda Noti. I think that's how you say it. Drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, "What do you think about Jenna Troll's Square Enix comments?" I did not see Jenna Troll's. Does anyone see that? Because I didn't see it. I don't know who Jenna Troll's is. I'll look for it while we kind of move things along. If I come across it, obviously I'll re-comment on it. Starfield guy drops a very generous £2 super chat and goes on to say, "Hi, Boom. just to say, I got the coins. Thanks, but oh, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Starfield guy is in the UK, and he got the coins. Yes! That means it worked. That's awesome. Good to know, brother. I'm glad they arrived safe and sound. Thank you for the update. Joe Dunmore, good friend of the program. I dare say, great friend of the program. He's been a channel member, folks, for 18 long months. Bro, that is crazy generous of you. He says, Vampire Survivors is okay. I only have 7 days and 34 minutes in it so far. I'll give it some more time to see if I really like it. I love the facetiousness. That's great, man. I have about 7 days as well. I'm getting closer to 8. I played it all weekend. It's so good. It is so freaking good. Gamer by Choice drops a very generous $5 super chat. And he goes on to say, has anyone quantified what niche is in numbers? I keep hearing people use niche, and I would love to know what range is niche in gaming.
Well, definitely not a 20 million user fan base. Definitely not 20 million. And that's that's what Final Fantasy is. It's a 20 million unit franchise. Like, they sell millions of units of games. That's definitely not niche. Just, there you go. So I'll say that.
No, I mean, it's fair. It's fair point. I think that if I were to, I guess, give my hot take on it, would be you sell 1.3 million copies of said game, niche. You sell 10 million of copies of a game, not so much. That's just my hot take on it. But again, I could be wrong. Chaos Theory, he has been a channel member for as long as the channel has been around. That is bonkers. 54 months, bro. That is crazy generous of you. Thank you for the outstanding support. He goes, wow, 54 months. Must have been doing something right to keep up with the premiere content. I mean, I can't thank you enough for the crazy generosity. And again, 54 months of anything is just legendary. Michael Mooney. Hey, Mike, what's going on, brother? Welcome to the program. He drops a very generous £5 super chat. And he goes on to say, next Doom would have started development in 2021, COVID-19. It's possible it's DLC for Doom Eternal. I mean, I don't know. Is it possible that it's going to be DLC-esque? Is it a Miles Morales 8-hour experience? Is it 10 hours? Is it 14 hours? I don't necessarily know if it's DLC per se, because they did have DLC for Doom Eternal. I think, honestly, if I'm taking a stab at it, I think this is going to be a full-fledged title. But then again, we have to see when the game is unveiled and what it looks like, because obviously it's using the new ID Tech software. So it's going to look freaking amazing. We just don't know how long it's going to be. JJ Saiyan 117 drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, Game of the Year and Helldivers 2 delisted in 177 places. Open the pirates. Yeah, they added 3 more countries to it. And I think he's talking about Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima has been blocked from a lot of regions because of the multiplayer. You can play the single player if you buy it. You can't play the multiplayer because you need the PSN account. And if you can't make the PSN account, you can't play the game. It's weird. It's Sony just fumbling the ball at the goal line. That's what I could say. Just dumb. I don't know what else to say. Leonard Herrera, who's been a channel member for 26 months. Leonard, thank you so much for the generosity. He goes on to say, I'm primed for the Xbox showcase. Past week was tough, but as Xbox gamers, we're ready. Yeah, I think good news trumps bad news. Last week was brutal. There's no doubt about it. I thought there were some really big mistakes made, but I'm not an investor. I don't have the call or the power to say outside of a fan what I thought. I put it out there for a couple of days, and if they didn't like it, they didn't like it, but I'm going to stand on the stone. But listen, there's a lot of Xbox games coming out this year. There are a lot of big things happening for Xbox. I understand you could be upset, you could be disappointed, you could be disenchanted. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, we are here as consumers for games. They have games when the other platforms do not. Let's not forget that. Mash. Wow, Mash. This is crazy. He has gifted, ladies and gentlemen, 10 double barrel gaming memberships. Brother, that is ridiculously generous of you. Thank you so much for not only being here, but of course, extending the generosity as you have done before. We are incredibly humbled by that generosity. Thank you. So let's get into the next topic, ladies and gentlemen. And this one's beefy. Now, obviously, Jez Corden is someone that I think, and I will say this, I've said it before, when you talk about journalistic integrity, when you talk about journalists you can trust, for me, maybe not for you, that's up to you, you make the decision, tip of the spear in the gaming journalism. I like Jez. I met him in real life. I hopefully am going to meet him again this June. As he has done before on the Xbox 2 podcast with another very good friend of mine, Randall Thor 19, all the way from Chi-Town. Well, they do what they normally do. They put on a great show each and every week, but Jez put out some information that got me stoked. And it's talking about State of Decay 3. Now, State of Decay 2 has been updated so many times. It's unbelievable. The game is completely different than it was when it first launched. I put 60 plus hours into it and loved every second, but there was one component, Fuzzy Belvedere, missing from it for me. And that is a single player focused experience. Now, I get, folks, don't hold the tomatoes. Don't throw them yet. Let me give my piece. If you don't like what I have to say, throw the tomatoes. It's fine.
Throw them at me. I'm okay. I like tomatoes.
Yeah, listen, you can make tomato. Like they say, you can make lemonade out of lemons. You can make tomato soup out of tomatoes. There you go, when you crush it. But here's the thing, Fuzzy Belvedere. We know that there is one thing that Xbox does super well, and that is offer its fans, its consumers, multiple ways to enjoy a game, whether that be on the multiplayer side, like Halo multiplayer, Forza multiplayer, Gears multiplayer. They did a multiplayer for Fable. They've had a lot of multiplayer games. But the other side of the coin here is they do single player dual content, and they do it well. We've seen it with Gears. We've seen it with Halo. We've seen it with Forza. We've seen it with Fable. The lists go on and on and on. What I'm hoping for is, because we're getting Unreal Engine 5 graphics, because we saw a specific female character in 2020, which I want to know her story. I don't want to know someone else's story because I like what I saw with that female character. Now, who is she? Well, we don't know, right? Hopefully, we'll get an update to who she is. What I'm hoping for in this, I have a very strong suspicion, it is going to show, and it's going to show well based on what Jez Corden had to say at June's event, which is only a couple of weeks away. And here's the thing. I want the multiplayer to be as bombastic as it's been all these years, right? People get in there as groups, as teams. They build their bases. They live their lives in this game. It's scary. When you go out at night, it's even worse, and you have fun. For me, I'll dabble in that. I'll jump into the multiplayer. Now, I'll probably run it solo like I did when I played Save the K2. But what I would like is a strong single-player, story-driven piece of content. It doesn't have to be 90 hours. It could be a 10-hour experience, a 12-hour experience. I want to know about that character, and I wanted a story to be told to me about characters that are in the game. What do you think about this? You know what? Before I get that, let me read what Jez Corden had to say, so you have some context to what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So during the Xbox 2 podcast, Jez Corden of Windows Central says this. I'll put it out there that it's going very, very well and looks very, very good. Now, again, short, sweet, to the point. Jez Corden would not have said that if he hasn't seen it with his own eyes, which I believe he has. And obviously, there is some things that we have to talk about. It is going to be done in Unreal Engine 5. They are getting hands-on help and have been since the entire development process from the coalition who are the masters of Unreal Engine. What are your expectations, Fuzzy?
Well, for me, my expectations is just that they're going to have a more modern look as far as the visuals. I love State of Decay 2. I probably didn't play it as much as a lot of people here, but I like the gist of it as far as like it's a combination of like base building, survival, resource gathering, and whatnot, and that's great. But I like your idea as far as like a single player aspect where maybe you use that as a tutorial to kind of get you used to going out on runs for supplies or, you know, opening up an outpost kind of thing. Like imagine it almost like a mini version of The Walking Dead where, you know, you happen to find this survival group after, you know, S hits the fan kind of thing. And they take you in and it's like, all right, everybody has to pull their weight. You're going to be on night guard or something like that. Or we need you to run, you know, to the grocery store, see if there's anything left at that one. We've hit it up a few times. There's, you know, a handful of things left. See what you can grab from there and bring it back as far as for our little, you know, community or neighborhood and stuff like that. So if they have, like you said, something that's 10 hours or around about that time frame that gives you like an onboarding for the mechanics in the game, that would be awesome because that would probably get more people into that game. Not saying that they just throw you in, throw you at the wolves kind of thing when you play the game, but there are some things that you're going to want to pay more attention to. And they kind of walk you through it with the tool tips and things like, oh yeah, you have to, you know, go to the armory and check your weapons and make sure you have the right weapon with you, or, you know, put the certain foods in refrigerators and, you know, make sure you have certain like light posts or outposts, you know, secured and things like that. But having it where it's like a single player story mode would be a cool, you know, I wouldn't say option, but like a cool, you know, mode for that game where for the people that may not necessarily care for doing like a co-op experience type of thing, they could kind of get through that, live out their Walking Dead or any zombie type movie that they like, you know, live that out in that game and go from there, but it's still know all the mechanics of the game. And then if they do happen to hop on with a group, you know, play some co-op, they'll be, you know, much better prepared and not have to, you know, be constantly said, oh yeah, you have to do this, you have to do that and kind of run here and make sure this is secure. You know, you stand guard at this tower and stuff like that. So yeah, I like that idea, but for me, the only real expectation just from the trailer, and I know it was CGI, but we've seen that Unreal Engine 5 can deliver visuals close to that, if not better. Like we've already seen that some of the visuals for Hellblade 2, I don't know, the very first ones were all in engine. I think some of it may have been CGI in the very, very beginning, the very first showing. But we see that the visuals now are well improved over that, or well improved over even the previous visuals that we thought were where people were like, oh, there's no way that's in game or in engine. And it was. So. Yeah, I especially having Coalition working with them, I expect this is going to be from a visual standpoint, I would say above what we've seen with The Last of Us. Now, I know people are going to come at me on that one, but, you know, Unreal Engine 5, I think it could, you know, surpass their visual quality.
Well, here's the thing. So let me just add some context to what you're saying. See, I this should be something else, right? I'm going to move this over to Gamsley, but I want to put two and two together here. What did we hear a couple of years ago when The Last of Us 2 was released? What happened? Xbox reviewed it internally. Right, they looked at the game and like, holy shit, this game looks freaking amazing, and it played really well. The RPG mechanics were phenomenal. The weapon building were phenomenal. I hated the story. I'm not shy about that. I hated the story. It was too disjointed for me, and I hated what they did with Ellie. Just absolutely abysmal storytelling, in my opinion. Fine. But everything else about that game, you cannot argue it was freaking phenomenal, right? So what are we, Gamsley, expecting for State of Decay 3? The same as State of Decay 2? Well, I certainly hope not. Because if you're going to use Unreal Engine 5 and you're going to have the Coalition doing dual duties while they're working on the next Gears, and obviously they're helping out here, there, and everywhere, you take advantage of that by giving us a very visual story that can be told. Everyone's story is going to be different when you're playing multiplayer, right? You know, one player, two player, four player. It's going to be a great time. But where I think this game could really stand out and really shine is exactly what Fuzzy Belvedere just said. Is it going to be The Last of Us 2? No. But could they tell a story that gives you a third-person, over-the-shoulder, adult-themed look and conversation? I think it would be a missed opportunity if that is not a part of what this game is going to be. What do you think, man?
Look, I understand the appetite for it, right? I understand that we want those type of experiences like The Last of Us and God of War on the Xbox side or the ecosystem of what Xbox is. I understand we want that, but I also, like, if you look at PAL World and you look at examples like that, like, some genres really do blow up because they're the way they are. And for this genre, like the survival kind of zombie base building kind of thing that already, has a gigantic audience and really, you know, the sim lovers kind of love, not The Sims, the game, but simulation lovers love, you don't want to divert too much from the beaten, like too much from the formula. So it's very dangerous for them to try to warp in a engrossing narrative and be so big and bombastic, meanwhile keeping all of those other things intact, because that is devastatingly expensive and why we never see it, right? It's always something's lacking with these types of games, simulations and zombie and survival type things. The best they could do is just untether the players more. There are stories being told in State of Decay. There are interesting things going on. They just got to really zoom in, focus on what makes it great, improve it, and people are going to come in droves. Like, they have a hit on their hands. State of Decay 1 was a big success with a very, like, small population of people. State of Decay 2 was almost, like, double or triple the size of that small group. And if they just stick to that formula, they're going to get even bigger. You could see the Souls games go that path. This is a genre that's untapped. It's untapped potential. They always get to a certain spot, then fall, and then the next one comes, and it gets to a certain spot, and it falls. But if they could just nail the genre, that's going to be enough, dude. Like, they don't need to overblow it.
I mean, and that's a fair opinion. One thing that we know that Microsoft is really good at, and that is gas games. It's something that has become all the rage. It's something that they do so well that they attracted Sony, and Sony changed their whole theory and thought of what their first party was going to be. And look what happened. They wound up having to backtrack. They had 12 games. Now they have 6, maybe half that, maybe have about 3. So we don't know.
Can I still talk on it a little bit? Because I'm super excited for this game. Like, this game is unique. There's not, within its own genre, it's also unique. Like, there's not much like this. And for them to get a budget with a big publisher behind them, yes, it is scary because you have different expectations and Sauron's eyes on you at all times, and maybe you get a little bit scared, right? But I really think, if they just stick to it, man, again, like I said, if they just let you go farther, I don't know. I have a good amount of hours in State of Decay 2, but I don't remember if they tethered you heavily. Just give more freedom in like a co-op scenario or an online scenario. Give more freedom. Let the servers be dedicated and all that stuff. I'm not sure if they are at this moment, so don't at me with anything crazy. I did play it alone. But I love this game. It, man, I just want State of Decay. It's not like any other game. Not a lot of games do it. So please, Xbox, just let this team breathe. Help them. Fucking shoot some money at them. Let's see what they got, because you got another hit on your hand. I mean, I'm very excited for the future, because they really do have these live service games that I'm very interested in. And it does give me that... Like, sometimes I do wish Sony actually did release, you know, The Last of Us Factions, online? Was it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it would have been...
I really do wish they did, like, release that, see what happens, see the population grow with it. I really do think there's a big appetite for that genre that's not very satiated with the AAA developers. Like, with other people, yes, but with AAA developers, they usually never touch this genre. I can't wait.
Again, it's this is a title that started out as an Xbox Live Arcade game, right? And obviously the second one came out and there were some tethering issues, you know, from inception. They're a small studio. They have grown in size. They've been working on this game, I would imagine, since at least, 2019, right? Like, right before the pandemic. Obviously, 2020 comes out. They show us the trailer. Yes, it's CGI. I mean, again, if you're a fan of the game, which I think everyone here is, what didn't we have in the other games? And that was, well, the animals are now zombies. I mean, obviously you have to watch out for the people, but now you're gonna have dogs, you're gonna have deer running
wolves,
around.
How about bears? Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's even more horrifying, because again, you're gonna wind up going up one of those like buckets where you just sit there and the bears is gonna sit there and wait for you to come down and eat you. It's not good. It's definitely not good. look, I think there are going to be some monster reveals. I haven't heard anything personally. The one thing I will say, and again, props to Microsoft, specifically Xbox, is to keeping those cards close. I think some of the stuff getting out there, like Doom, I kind of think that we all figured that was happening. State of Decay 3, I think that we're all on the same page here, that is probably happening. There's, you know, been some talk with Grubb about Perfect Dark not being in the greatest of places, and of course, he rebutted what he had to say. I have both those videos from him talking about on his game mess, which we'll go into tomorrow. As you know, look, we're at the 107 mark here, and we do have some time left. I do want to catch up on Super Chats. We have another Treybone 408 underscore. What's going on, Treybone? How you feeling, brother? Thanks so much for being here. He has been a channel member for 9 long months, bro. That is crazy generous of you. Thank you for the outstanding support. He says this: I understand criticism, but all of the doom and gloom is too much. The doom and gloom will always will go away June 9th and return June 9th. People need to relax. Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I get it. People, some folks are super down on Xbox. Get it. I understand it. But you have a roadmap. Like, we know at least 20 games that are in development, right? At least 20 of them. And we have a shit ton of games coming out this year. Now, granted, I know that Matt Booty has said, you know, we want to get to a point where we're doing one per quarter. That didn't track in 2024, obviously, because the first big game that's launching is going to, of course, be Hellblade on the 21st. And I totally get the criticism. I totally get they deserve it. Well, you know, you guys said one per quarter. What happened? I get it. I hear you. They did not deliver. We should have had a game either January, February, or March. We didn't, right? April, May, well, we're getting one in May, right? Now, obviously, the end of the year is going to be a stacked deck. You have Avowed. It starts off with Hellblade. You got Indiana Jones. Indeed. You got Call of Duty. There's a ton of stuff. Aura, History Untold is going to be out for PC. That's going to be a big game for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Not so much for me, even if it came to console, but that's okay because not every game is for every gamer. And there's a bunch of other ones. Flight Sim is getting a ton of the new Flight Sim with all the things you can do. it's gonna be like an action game that you can just looks real. That's what that you're gonna be able to save people's lives, be a fireman, fly helicopters. You're gonna be able to do it all. Congratulations, that's amazing. Not for me, but it's for somebody, and that's the great thing. Everything's in Game Pass, which is a freaking amazing. But I don't want to get out of here just yet. I could have stopped the show because we got to the three topics, and I don't want to, you know, regurgitate some of the old stuff we talked about. I kind of want to have a little fun here, okay? And I want the chat involved here because the June showcase is upon us, right? A couple of weeks, we got Hellblade 2 on the 21st. A few weeks after that, we got the showcase. It's going to be amazing. June 9th is going to... I think it's going to slap. I think it's going to be the biggest showcase they've ever done. And I think we're going to get a lot of surprises, regardless of the doom and gloom that has been floating this year for Xbox. And if you're upset with the brand, I understand. I'm not going to fight you on it. Have your feelings about the brand not being where you as a consumer want it to be. We're not going to fight. That's your opinion. You're allowed to have it. My glass is always half full. Yours might be half empty, and I hear you. But I'm here to tell you that we have a roadmap as consumers. We know what is launching this year. We have a pretty good idea what's happening next year. We also know that there's a June showcase where it's confirmed. The June showcase is confirmed. We know we're getting two showcases, one of which is the Call of Duty Redacted one. You can't say that about Nintendo because we don't know if they're going to do a show. Right, there's no confirmation. We're hearing rumors. And Sony, well, how many rumors have you heard as a gamer that there's going to be a Sony showcase? And it's going to have, you know, it's going to be the second coming of gaming. And that has that happened yet? It has not. So as an Xbox fan, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. But for me personally, I think there is a shit ton to get excited about. And I'm excited to be an Xbox fan now and into the future. With that said, chat. With that said, panel, I want you get one pick, no side picks, no side pieces. You get one pick that is your game that has to be at the show, that has to be your freaking number one game. And I'll go to Fuzzy first. Fuzzy, what is the one pick that has to be at this? Again, chat. Let's talk about it. How many of you are excited for the showcase? What is the one pick for you? No second picks, no A, no B's and C's and D's. You got to pick one. What has to be there? Take it away, Fuzzy.
Ooh, that's a tough one to narrow down because if it's just one, you know what? I think it's early for it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not expecting it there, but I'll be, you know, head over heels if it is there.
Know what you can say.
Forza Horizon 6, based in Japan.
Oh, my God. I'm pulling out of my
seat. Oh, my God. Drift.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I already know that there's going to be a lot of games that I'm looking forward to. But that's one I kind of don't expect until 2026. But if they show it and get the fans hyped for it, I don't know. Maybe they,
Fuzzy, what if they call it like Forza Horizon Drift and it's just Tokyo Drift, but Horizon.
That would be fine.
Baby. Nice little spinoff for you, Fuzzy.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Like I can only imagine the lead up to that. Like, honestly, at that point, I think that would, even though we talked about it before, Forza Horizon 3 was a console seller to some extent. Forza Horizon 4, a little less so. Forza Horizon 5 has kind of been a console seller as well.
Indeed, yeah.
Forza Horizon 6 in Japan, and it's got the drift theme. It's got the neon lights for like the city. It's got the cherry blossoms. It's got the switchbacks, the mountaintop roads, and things like that. That's a console seller, hands down. Yeah. Like, forget about your need for speeds. That will sell consoles. And they have that at the show. I know Jason Rod will be, you know, falling out of his chair if he hasn't already played like a test build or something like that. But yeah, that I think, and it'll be another one of those cases where it's like, we're showing you shots of Tokyo. And people would be like, oh, that's just, you know, camera footage and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, this is the actual game. And you got people like drifting around the streets. And it's like, wait, is that real or is that the game? So, no, I think they show that at the showcase. I mean, that alone will make it a 10 out of 10 for me. But I already know.
Horizon 5 come out? Was that 2021?
Yeah, I think it was 2021.
So it's been a minute. You know what I'm saying? Normally they have like a two year dev time, and obviously it's been a minute. So we're going on almost a full 3 years, and they probably were working on it right as soon as they were done. So
I know they've kind of split and grown both teams, like your Forza team and your Fable team, but man. And yes, I know, what's his name? Mike Brown left and a few other people left to go to his studio. But I would say, and this is no slander on Mike Brown, I think the Playground team is actually better for Forza Horizon now than when he was over there. There's less bugs, less issues with updates, less inconsistent accolades and things like that. Not knocking them, but it seems like they fixed the glitch. they've had plenty of time, but it's going to be on the new engine, that new handling model, you know, a hybrid of what Turn 10 has created for motorsport. Probably working in some ray tracing. They already got the ray trace audio. They can already do the specular, you know, highlights and things like that. And push, you know, not to the point where the Series X is melting, but push it to its limits. And I'll stand on my hill saying, motorsport, while it looks beautiful, it's not pushing the Series X quite as much as it probably could. I think we'll continue to see more optimization. Looks awesome now, but check in a year, and I think you'll notice what I'm talking about. But Forza Horizon 6, I won't say it's a showstopper because I know that there's going to probably be at least two other bigger titles there. But no, I that's what I hope to see. Just let me know that it's in Japan. I think that's the big thing. We've been asking for it for a while. Just let us know. It's Tokyo centric, drifting, neon lights at night, cherry blossoms during the day.
Yep.
Switchback
killer mountains. Soundtrack. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Gamsley, what is your one pick, sir?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, I love this. Are we going with our heart or are we going with disappointment?
Whatever makes you smile, kind sir.
I definitely don't really get, like I said on the top of the episode, I don't really get disappointed really of these showcases. I really tend to just shoot everything at the wall and just get hyped, like old school E3 type level hype. You know, if something doesn't show up, I'm not that, you know, mad about it. I'm gonna go with my heart, and this might not seem like it's big and it might seem boring, but look at me in exile. Look at me, you beautiful sons of bees. Look at me. I love you. Please remake Fallout 1 and 2. Please.
Dude, a lot of people have been asking for that. And if there's anyone that could do it, it'd be them.
You guys, I want you to remake Fallout 1 and 2. And if you don't, I'll cry. I'll cry. No.
I mean, you know why that's a big pick? That's a great pick? Because Fallout is hot right now. Like, it's really, really hot. So,
I really hope In Exile gets out there, because we know that they've been cooking something. Like, they're very active. Well, they were very active at one point, just shooting nuggets out there that they're cooking. And I really do love their games, and I feel like that genre has had a resurgence recently, thanks to all the incredible studios still pushing those games and trying to make it popular. Oh, by the way, Larian Studio games, so that genre, that entire genre, used to be dead in the water, and now look at it, not niche, crazy. Point is, I really want to see a Wasteland 3 style Fallout game. Like, I need that. Give me it, inject it straight into my veins. I want it all day. I lose hours on these games. That's my number one pick. If they fail me, they fail me, but I want to see Fallout. Fallout's hot, like you said, so let's see some Fallout.
That's a strong pick. I think that would bring the house down because a lot of people have been calling for Fallout 1 and 2 remake. And you know what? Remakes are a thing. Obviously, we have heard, and again, this is rumors, that Fallout 3 remake or remaster, whatever you want to call it, is going to be at the show. Let's see. What's the other one that's coming out? Oh, my God. What's the RPG when... It's not Obsidian. That's someone who makes RPGs. Why can't I think of Oblivion? Oblivion is supposed to have a remake as well. I mean, that's right there. That's what started microtransactions. The horse armor. Who bought the horse armor?
Yes.
I'm a part of it. I bought that.
I did. I consumed that so hard and fast. I'm so sorry.
The minute it was available, I was like, bye. I don't care how much it is. I don't care. I'm a part of the problem. God damn it.
Oblivion, if that drops, boom, like if Oblivion drops a remake, like if Bethesda does that, it's gonna be a megaton bomb, dude.
It absolutely is. That's a big one. A lot of people have been asking for it, and hopefully it's got to look good. It's got to play good. It's gonna have all the DLC. I mean, I'm there for day one. Let me read some of the other picks that have been here. So let's see, we have I like this one. Delvin Norris says Mech Assault. Holy shit, yes. Okay, so my idea for a Mech Assault would be like Titanfall. If you can make Mech Assault, not the top-down 3 3/4 view that we had, even though those are great, if you want to advance the platform, you want to advance the IP, make the next Mech Assault like Titanfall, holy shit, you will have definitely a game. Let's see. Okay, so King Chili's says Ark Survival 2. That's a good pick. Fillmore Pocket says Perfect Dark, but I'm not holding my breath. Z Black Writer says State of Decay 3, which, again, we just talked about. Whole Grain Bread says, boom, you need to do a poll. I'm hoping that they have polls that they're coming. I got to reach out to the devs of the software I use. They said that they were working on it. Hopefully they do get that done because that would be kind of dope. For me to do it, I have to go into YouTube from here, and it's a bit of a pain in the ass, which is why I don't do it. So hopefully they'll have them so I can just do it right here behind the scenes and throw up a poll and everyone picks. It's great. Let's see. Lad says only one pick. Damn. Mash puts Indiana Jones. Yet, you know what? Honestly, that's probably one of my most anticipated games of the year. I'm a big indie fan, and that game looks so freaking good. I get like the Riddick Games feel from it, you know, and of course, a lot of people from that team are on that team that's making indie. So, yes, that's why it feels that way. Let's see. Terrence Popovich just says Gears, and I'm right here. Kipless says Gears, either 6 or a collection, but I prefer both. You know what? Be greedy, sir, because I agree with you right there. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, Hyman says Halo. Oh, God, yes. Can we see what Certain Affinity is up to? Holy shit. Yeah, we need some Halo in our lives. And I'm talking
Wait. Yes, oh, my God, boom. Scalebound. Yes.
Someone actually said that. I think it was Abdel114. Yeah, so Abdel114 says,
that's my guy.
You know what? Look, I'm not going to front. I am not going to lie. When I saw that, I was like, yep, that's my kind of game. Like, he got the headphones on. He's a big
No, let it die.
A Neo Tokyo kind of kid. You know, he's flying with his friends. They're on dragons. We don't know why they're fighting, but they got headphones on. I don't know. I'm sorry. I like what they were selling. I would have bought it. Let's see. What else we got over here?
I was joking, boom. Damn. No, well, I was joking.
Let's see. Jagger 0718 says Doom needs to be there. I agree. Ohio State says Stay of Decay 3. I love that pick. Quan the Terrible says Gears for me, my body is ready. Yeah, you know what? We got to get some Gears. We know Gears 6 is going to be there. We know that. Is the Gears collection going to be there? Well, yes, because we have heard that they're bringing 2 games, not 1. And, well, you know, come on. Decado says Stay of Decay 3. Yes, that's a great pick. Voidlock. Yeah, you know what? I'm with Voidlock here. He wants to see an update to Fable. Yeah, let's get some, like, full-on gameplay. Like, you know, we should see gameplay, but I'm talking, let's get some full-on gameplay. I like that pick. Infinite Umbra, what's up, brother? I didn't know you'd be up. It's almost 1:30. You should be sleeping, dude. Thanks so much for being here. Let's see. Forza episode 13 says Forza Horizon 5 is beautiful. Indeed, it is. And 6 is going to be even better looking, which is just crazy. Let's see. What other picks we got here? Abnormal Status says Starfield DLC. Yeah, that's going to be there in some form and fashion for sure. We're going to get some update onto that.
Wu-Tang game. Project Shaolin. Yeah.
Project Shaolin would be dope. Oh man. And it's a side scrolling beat 'em up RPG with Wu-Tang soundtrack. Are you freaking kidding me? Like listen. You know what needs to come back? You know, you say Wu-Tang. Okay, Wu-Tang is dope. Like who doesn't like their music? I grew up on their music, but you know what I miss? Def Jam Vendetta.
Yeah.
God damn it. What are the greatest fighting games that a lot of people never played? And the second one was okay. It was good. The first one, bro, so good. I'd love to see. I hope, and of course, Wu-Tang is heavily involved in the development of this. It is going to have the flavor of Wu-Tang. It's going to have the flavor of hip hop, which we all know and love. So that's a great pick. That is a freaking great pick. Let's see. All right. So listen, we're getting close to the end. I have the winners. Please, if you did win and you want the prize, I will wait to the end of the week. Give everyone an opportunity to reach out to me. Again, there are three ways you can get in touch with me. The easiest is DM on Twitter. The second way is through Xbox Live. I'll check the messages. I don't get to everyone, you know, back to everyone because it's a lot. You know, I'm only one person, but I will definitely keep checking there. And the other way is if you go to the About page on my YouTube channel, there is a business email. Email me. And obviously, I'm going to have to vet who you are because, you know, I've had people try to scam me out of, hey, boom, it's so-and-so. And then why not being them, which is really shitty. Don't do that. Please be a good person. Because there's only so many of these coins, and if I send it out to somebody that's not really the person, that person loses, and I look like a boob. So don't make me look like a boob. So here are your five winners. And again, easiest way to reach out to me is through DM. If I'm not following you, you know, send me a message, and I'll be on the lookout. Ann Young won a pair of the coins. Ballantone, Jagger 0718, Lethal Papa, and Malcolm X. So Malcolm X LAX3, who just made a comment here. So yeah, you are the five winners. So again, I'm going to read that for you. What you're getting are a pair of coins. You're getting the extremely, and I mean extremely limited, Hellblade 2 coin. That design was created by Ben Kenobi over on Xbox Fan Art. Of course, courtesy of his generosity, we have some to give away. And the second coin, which we were only originally going to do one coin, we're giving you now two coins, and it is the Modern Warfare 3 coin, which is dope. Seeing it on a picture doesn't do these coins justice until you have them in your hands. And obviously, we'll get those all mailed out. And again, just for the caveat, folks, if the shipping is reasonable, you know, even like maximum of $20-something, we'll ship it to you. You pay nothing. We eat the cost. But again, if you're talking like, you know, $30, $40, $50 to ship two coins, we can't justify that because obviously there's no Microsoft backing here. It's just me and Mrs. Boom, and it's from our bank account. So we're limited to how much we can spend on shipping. Again, I will read those winners. Ann Young, Ballantone, Jagger 0718, Lethal Papa, and Malcolm X, LAX3. You all have won a pair of coins. Congratulations. Let me just make sure I'm all caught up on super chats here, and we will get everyone out of here. Oh, actually, wow, there's a couple more. Elijah Vasquez, who's been a channel member for 2 months. So, Elijah, thank you so much for the crazy support. We super appreciate it. They say this, to be fair, they said that their goal was a major release per quarter, not that it's the rule or the standard. People get upset over nothing. I mean, listen, I hear you. They didn't specifically say it's locked, we're doing one per quarter. That was their goal. But this is when they didn't have games. Now they have games. So again, I don't care. I've had a lot to play. In fact, my backlog is as tall as I am, and I'm 6 feet 206. So I'm a pretty big dude, and it's taller than me, even with my mohawk. So I'm not you know, worried about games. It's just that I'd like to see them have a better cadence, and we're going to start to see it. And hopefully now that it starts in May with Hellblade, it's going to keep rolling through 24, through 25, through 26. And if they can hit that cadence of one new game per quarter, it's going to be good for us as consumers, and it's going to be even better for Game Pass. Michael Mooney drops an additional very generous £5 super chat, and he goes on to say, okay, so Forza Horizon in Japan, but the first trailer most used Kandeya's theme from Akira. I mean, that would be freaking dope if they did use anything from Akira. That would be just crazy. But I just hope it isn't Japan. I mean, come on. It's the one place. How come we're not in Japan yet? This is what I don't understand. Let's go. We have Gray Fox 020. Welcome to the program, Gray Fox, and thank you so much for the very generous $2 super chance. Hey, boom, Fallout 4 patch is out. 40 frames per second quality mode. Is it the Fallout 4 patch, or are you talking about the Starfield patch? Because I know that the Starfield patch is supposed to, I mean, if it's out now, that'd be dope. I thought it was coming out tomorrow. I'm going to definitely check it out. But yeah, listen, brother, thank you so much for the generosity, and I will definitely check that out for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the Xbox Lunch Break Special. If you are finding the channel for the first time and you enjoyed the conversation, the banter, if you will, please consider subscribing. We are on the hunt for 15K, and well, we're almost at the halfway mark, and it would be pretty dope to hit that by the end of the year. And of course, a big thank you to all of the very generous Super Chats and the channel members that continue to support Mrs. Boom and my and me with, of course, which is why we do these big giveaways, and we can't do any of that without this crazy support. Let's get to the outros. Gamzee, let's sell your brand, brother.
Yes, sir.
Where could people find you on social media, but more importantly, find you on your YouTube channel and with your co-hosts, Deadly Headley and Asa, on your podcast?
Yeah, so we do a lot of good stuff. Listen, guys, we all love talking about games. Let's be respectful. Let's just enjoy the stuff we're given. If you like doing that and you like communities, Gaming Arcadia is definitely it. I know it's a plugin, but definitely it. Go check on the Gaming Arcadia YouTube channel. There you'll find Xbox Series Podcast. We're going on our 15th episode every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. If you join our Discord and subscribe, become a member, we do big community nights. We have around 15 people every weekend jump in and play games together. We're building something special. We're small, but we're gaining ground. So yeah, if you want to have fun, go check us out. Also, I'm here every Monday at Double Barrel Gaming, every lunch. Also, follow me at GamsleeTKD on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Hit me up, follow me. I'm a nice dude. Sometimes I speak harshly. Sometimes I seem like I'm taller than you. I'm 5'3". I'm a short little guy. I got no hands. I bark like a little chihuahua, but, I'm a fun guy, man. I like to play around. I like to play games. Come follow me and, see where else I'm going to pop up if you like me.
Yes, well, thank you so much for being a part of the show each and every Monday, brother. Super appreciate that. And last and no way least, and Fuzzy Belvedere, let's sell your brand, brother. Where can people subscribe to your YouTube channel? Where, of course, is the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre? Where can people find you on social media? But more importantly, what other shows are you on? What else you got going on?
Oh, as always, thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure to be on here with you, Boom and Gamzee. Greatly appreciate you guys, you know, hanging with me and talking games. It's a awesome, you know, pastime or hobby to be a part of. Thanks to everybody in the chat for checking us out. Greatly appreciate you guys taking the time. If you haven't already, please hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't already. And for those that want to hear my rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can also find me on FSP later on tonight on Fun Speculations channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then right back here on Friday morning for Breakfast with Boom. Hope to see you guys there. Thanks again.
Awesome. Now, real quick, Jagger0718. Yes, of course, you can message me on the Xbox app. Do that. And I will, of course, listen, again, I should have probably should have said this. What a terrible host. If you want your coins, what I need is your first and last name and your address. Do me a favor so it's easy for me. Spell it out exactly how it would be on a letter so I can copy and paste it, throw it in the pewter and print it out, slap a label on there and get it out to you guys and gals. It makes it super easy for me to just be able to cut and paste. So yes, first, last name, your address, and please do it in the order that you would get a letter, regardless of whatever country. Like, if it's outside of the U.S., fine, we'll attempt to get it to you. But again, yes, Jagger, reach out to me. I will get back to you immediately. And again, folks, I'm going to hold on to the list. We'll wait until Friday. And if we don't get everyone, if there's anyone that did not reach out to me, we will then re-roll the win. But listen, again, thank you so much for making this an amazing show. We had over 800 live people, which is freaking crazy. Of course, that is across Twitter. That is across YouTube. Please consider subscribing. Help us get to the goal of 15K. We would be greatly appreciated of it. And of course, I'm going to close out the show with something that's incredibly important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. We'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.